So another thing I want to talk about is bullying, why it happens, and what to do about it. Bullying occurs in children of all ages and can even carry on into adulthood. First off, what is a bully? According to the American Psychological Association, bullying is a form of aggressive behavior where intentionally and repeatedly causes another person injury or discomfort. Bullying can take the form of physical contact, words, or more subtle actions. What is cyberbullying? Well, just like the name, cyberbullying occurs online. Many people believe that if the bullying is not physical, then it is not bullying. And a lot of people usually do cyberbullying, usually for this one reason. They are anonymous, meaning no one can find out who they are. So anyway, the whole thing with bullying is if bullying is not physical, then it is not bullying. This is not true at all. Like I said, cyberbullying does occur online, but it's just as bad as regular bullying. Cyberbullying includes sending hurtful messages or threatening emails or instant messages, spreading rumors, or posting embarrassing photos of others. Parents, how do you know if your child is being bullied? According to drzedtaff.com in an article called Six Warning Signs That Your Child Is Being Bullied, about 160,000 children miss school every year due to the effects of bullying, and more than 50 suicides have been linked to prolonged bullying. If you think your child is being bullied, look for these six signs. 1. Distance and isolation. 2. Developing physical problems such as headaches, stomach aches. 3. Has your child's schoolwork begun to suffer? Are they lacking the performance and ability to succeed that you know they have? 4. Does your child have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep? Or do they suffer from nightmares more so than usual? 5. Does your child seem listless, unenthusiastic, or disinterested in life? 4. And 6. Have you noticed that your child seems nervous, depressed, or emotionally explosive beyond what is considered normal and typical? If so, then pay close attention because these are signs that your child could be being bullied. And if and when you find out that your child is being bullied, you should consider having your kids set up for private therapy sessions. Bullying is never easy and kids need somebody to talk to, somebody they can confide in. Now, why do kids bully each other? According to education.com, there is no single cause for bullying. The individual, environment, family, school, and peers can put a child at risk for bullying. But why do kids do it? According to empoweringparents.com, the answer is really quite simple. Social problems. It's much easier to raise a fist to get what you want than to use your words. Bullying is the easy way out, and unfortunately, many kids take that route. A bully's attitude is simply, do exactly what I say or there will be physical consequences. The important thing is to teach your child what a bully is and what they do. A bully is somebody who forces others to do what they don't want to do, hits other people, takes and breaks personal belongings of other kids, and who calls other people's names. Bullying is usually a cry for attention by those who have severely low self-esteem, and by making others feel smaller, in turn, they make themselves feel bigger. Really though? It's nothing more than a kid with a big mouth. What to do if it's your child that isn't so? What do you do if it's your child that isn't being bullied, but is the bully? Parents and faculty of schools should never take bullying lightly, and consequences should follow. Honestly, in my opinion, I just believe that there should be zero tolerance for bullying. None. Kids who bully should be held accountable for their actions. Not doing anything about it is just a coward's way out, and it's just as bad as the bullying itself. Ask them to think about how they would feel if it was them being bullied. Turn the tables on them, and no, that does not mean that parents should bully their kids back to teach them a lesson. This will only make the aggression worse. Ask them, how would they feel if it was them being bullied instead of the other way around? How should a kid stand up to a bully? By hitting back? Talking back? Spreading a rumor for all for revenge? No. Fighting with a bully only makes it worse. And if you do this, you can also get into trouble. And this can end up making the bullying worse. How do you prevent a run-in with a bully? Avoid the bully at all costs. Do you have the same class that the bully has? If so, do not engage with them. Do not sit next to them or near them. And if at all possible, talk to your teacher and let them know that you do not want to be paired with this person on group projects and why. Also, find a buddy. Bullies tend to pick on kids who are usually alone. This won't automatically not make you a target for bullying, but it will help decrease it. Hey, I'm giving advice, not false hopes. If the bully says something or does something to you, ignore them. Do not give them a reaction. When you give a bully a reaction, you are giving them exactly what they want, thus giving them power over you. Acting like you don't notice or don't care are key. Stand up for yourself. Tell the bully that they need to stop and then walk or run if you have to. Doing what the bully says only increases the bullying, as bullies tend to pick on kids who don't stand up for themselves. If none of these are working, tell a parent or a teacher. Remember, it is their job to put a stop to it. A quick break here. I'll be back shortly. You are listening to Drawing the Line, only on radio.dominican.edu. So the love I'm giving back to y'all is bigger than the whole country. From England to Japan to Jamaica to right down the MIA. We don't stop, we go hard. Let's get it in, cause we're young and free. The time is now, gotta make it count. So before we die, let's go all out. We gotta live it up. Okay. Middle finger to the reaper, nigga, ain't no scaring me. Apparently, you don't understand who I am. It's trouble man, 100 grand in my pan. With them drop pins, hard tops, quick to sell make rocks. Maseratis, Ferraris, that money I don't play back. President stop me, imagine if I say that. Still shining on them, make them haters pull their shades out. When tragedy strikes, I struck back. Looking for me to roll over and die, who does that? Left a nigga for dead, came back to life. I guess this is me falling in the afterlife. Let's get it. And I'm back with a little more on bullying. Bullying may be hard to believe, but bullying doesn't have to be limited to just school. Bullying can also happen at work. According to the Workplace Bullying Institute, workplace bullying is repeated health-harming mistreatment of one or more persons, aka the targets, by one or more perpetrators that takes one or more of the following forms. Verbal abuse. Offensive conduct, behaviors, including nonverbal, which are threatening, humiliating, or intimidating. work interference sabotage, which prevents work from getting done. Also, according to the site, workplace bullying is driven by the perpetrator's need to control the targeted individuals, is initiated by bullies who choose their targets, timing, location, and methods, requires consequences for the targeted individual, escalates to involve others who side with the bully, either voluntarily or through coercion. Or, you can also pick another word for that, manipulation. Undermines legitimate business, or hey, blackmail even. Undermines legitimate business interests when bullies' personal agendas take precedence over work itself. Is akin to domestic violence at work, where the abuser is on the payroll. And that would really suck. I mean, like, let's just say you were getting bullied at work, and the person who was bullying you was the one who decides, like, was in charge of the whole payroll thing. Like, what if they didn't give you your fell amount or something? Or I don't know, that would really suck. And it's driven by the... And undermines legitimate business interests when bullies' personal agendas take precedence over work itself. Now, how do you deal with being bullied at work? You'd think that as adults, people would get over such child behavior. I mean, you'd really think, I mean, I can understand kids, like I understand, you know, kindergartners, like grade schoolers, middle schoolers, high schoolers. I can understand that because, you know, I'm not condoning bullying, but I'm just saying it's what a lot of kids do. It kind of happens. Like, I can understand a bunch of kids doing it, but for a bunch of adults to do it, for me, it just, I just can't even fathom the idea of an adult bullying another adult, mainly because it's like, you're an adult, stop doing all this petty stuff to each other and handle it like an adult. Like, there's a saying called, don't act your shoe size, act your age, or you're supposed to act your age, not your shoe size. You know, just because you have a size 5 or size 6 or size 10 shoe does not mean you should act like that. But hey, adults can act like children too. Dr. Michelle Callahan gives 10 tips on how to deal with bullying in the workplace, in an article called 10 Tips for Dealing with Bullies at Work from the Huffington Post. Tip number 1, don't get emotional. Bullies take satisfaction in abusing emotional people. That's actually true. They do. Tip number 2. However, when they say don't be emotional, I mean, they don't mean like crush all of your emotions forever and become the equivalent of a brick and have like the emotional capacity of a brick wall. No, like the whole thing of not being overly being emotional in front of a bully means just you're not giving them a reaction. You know, you're not gonna cry in front of them, you're not gonna scream, you're not gonna shout, you're just gonna act like you don't care, and eventually they're just gonna be all like, well, picking on you is really boring, I mean, come on, man, you're not doing anything. Tip number 2, don't blame yourself. Keep in mind that this is not your fault. It's the person who is bullying you. They are responsible for their actions. You are no way responsible for theirs. Tip number 3. Do your best at work. The bully's behavior will seem more, and I quote, more justified if you aren't doing your best at work, or if you do things like come to work late, take long lunches, turn in work late, etc. Tip number 4. Build a support group at the place where you work. Tip number 5. Document everything. This is very important. Keep a journal or on a personal computer, but do not leave it where others can have access to it, or, you know, you're pretty much Like, you're ruined. That's it. You're done. And document everything, including who the bully was and who witnessed it. Also, be sure to keep any threatening emails or notes the bully sends you. This way, if you have to take it to human resources, you have the backup that you need. And most likely, the person you are reporting will deny it. But if you have backup, then the person you're reporting really doesn't have a leg to stand on. Because when you don't have any backup, it's basically... I mean, having witnesses are good, but sometimes people will say, oh, you know, I didn't see anything, you know, like, just because they don't want to get involved, which is why you need to have backup. Even if that's a threatening email or a threatening note, save all of them. Because like I said, the bully, the person you're reporting, will obviously try to deny it. And if they do, you have the backup that you need. And if you have proof that they're bullying you, they don't have a leg to stand on. Tip 6, seek out help. Try and find somebody who has experience, this is with the issue before, or someone who legally knows how to deal with it. Tip number 7, get counseling. This will help you deal with the stress that comes with bullying. Tip 8, stay healthy. Maintain a healthy diet and get plenty of exercises. Not taking care of yourself will only make the stress of bullying worse. And you don't need any more baggage now, do you? Tip number 9, educate yourself. Learn everything you can about bullying in the workplace, as well as your company's policies in dealing with intolerable and inappropriate behavior. Work companies have their ethics on how to deal with stuff like this, and chances are, the bully knows this and is careful not to let others see their true intentions or to let themselves get caught. Because of this, it may be very hard to actually bring them down, so to speak. I refer going back to tip number 5. Document everything. And finally, tip numero 10. Don't even try to change the bully. The only way they can change is if they want to. And the only person you have control over is yourself and what actions you take. Changing the bully will only be a waste of time. What should you do if you suspect that a colleague is being bullied? Ask them to talk to you in private. So what exactly should you do if you suspect that your colleague is being bullied? Ask them to talk to you in private. Well, this is what you could do. You could either not get involved Or, and you know, this is actually completely up to you. You know, you can choose to handle the situation however you want. But you could always ask them to talk to you in private. Ask them what's going on, if they plan to do anything about it. Getting too involved in affairs that don't concern you, however, may not be the best idea. Let the person know that they can come talk to you at any time. If you have to, set up code words and names. This will be useful, especially if the bully is within earshot. Like, I don't know, like, let's just say some girl named, I don't know, Kate is bullying you at work, and you give her the nickname of, I don't know, computer virus or something. I don't know. Actually, you know what? For someone, I have a feeling that to a victim, a bully is like a virus. A virus that just won't go away. Also, tell the person that they should look into how the company deals with bullying in the workplace. And suggest that they go get counseling. You know, you can't force them, and you can't say, "Oh, you really should get counseling," because you know this might make the person you're talking to kind of feel undermined. You know, kind of feel like they're helpless, and they can't handle the situation on your own. So the best way to go about it is, "Hey, you know, I know of this really great therapist. I think they can help. You know, they can help you out. Do you want me to give you their contact information? Like, do you want that? Because I'd be more than happy to." And if they say yes, then get out a pen and paper and write down the number, address, and whatever you got. If they say no, then just say, "Okay, that's cool. Well, you know, if you change your mind, let me know," and just leave it at that. Offer yourself as a friend and someone they can turn to for support. But don't become an emotional baggage claim. Remember, there's nothing wrong with offering support, but you also have your own life to deal with. And for the last few minutes, I would like to reflect on my personal experiences with ADHD and my own personal experiences with bullying. Yeah, I would just like to talk about that, because I'd like to share some of my personal experiences with you guys, but don't worry, this is not going to be like a full-on rant. Like, oh my god, I got so teased so bad on ADHD, ADHD just made me miserable and meh. No, it's not going to be that way. So, ADHD has been, it's been very hard on me growing up, and like I said, I was diagnosed when I was like, 5 or 6 years old. But before I got diagnosed, you know, I was experiencing all the symptoms with ADHD. And like I also said, you know, just because you're experiencing symptoms with ADHD, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have it. However, I was experiencing the symptoms like up the wazoo. Like, I was like, I hope this doesn't creep you guys out, but I remember, like, I was even at like 4 or 5 years old, like 3 years old even, like, I was walking around my parents' house at night. Yeah, at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I'd be walking around the house. Like, I can't really explain it, but I could not sleep. And my parents would come down, they'd be like, "What the heck? Like, why aren't you asleep?" I think they might have thought that maybe I was possessed or something. I don't know. And you know, after I was diagnosed, My doctor, not going to say his name, in fact, I don't even remember his name, put me on medication, and it is one of the many medications that people take for ADHD. However, I'm not going to tell you which one it is. That's personal, so I'm not going to share something that personal with you. And I've been on it ever since. Well, actually, I've switched ADHD medications, and that's what a lot of patients with ADHD will do, is if they don't feel like the medication is working for them, or, you know, if it's doing stuff like, you know, is it, if it's decreasing their appetite, or if it's making them lose weight, or if it's giving them headaches, or if it's keeping them up at night, usually what they'll do is they'll write down all these things with their things. They'll go see their doctor, and the doctor will look at it and go, oh, that's not good, you know, let's put you on something else, and then you'll be put on something else. So I've been on, three different ADHD medications. Three. Uno, dos, tres. One, two, three. Ichi, ni, san. That was 1, 2, 3 in Japanese, by the way. And because of, so, yeah, I was put on medication for ADHD, and things got a little bit better, but let me tell you something. Just because you're on medication, ADHD medication helps you deal with the symptoms. It helps you manage ADHD. It does not in any way cure it or make it go away. However, I also, one thing like, that I believe is that you should not use ADHD medication as the end-all be-all. You should not take it as a fail-safe. You know, my doctor told me, you should take it when, yes, my doctor was like, yes, the bottle says take this many at these times a day or whatever. But he also told me, you should only take it when you think you need it. And I'm not going to say that everybody should follow that, because that's not true. You know, taking it whenever I need it may work for me, but that doesn't mean it's going to work for other people. And, you know, there's a reason why I picked ADHD to talk about during this show, because I have it, you know, and I just really wanted to share my personal experiences with you guys, because although it's not life-threatening, it's not in any way dangerous, it doesn't mean you're not smart, it doesn't have anything to do with your, like, your motivation or skill level, it has nothing to do with that. ADHD and ADD do not interfere with any of those. It's just a real pain in the, oh, hey, look, a squirrel. I'm just kidding. So ADHD has been very hard on me growing up, and because of it, I've fallen behind school in many times. You know, there were times when I would forget to turn in assignments. I'd forget to study for a test. Like, I'm not even kidding you. Like, back when I was in, like, high school, there'd be times when I heard that we had a test on, you know, say I was in, like, history class, and we had a test on, you know, I don't know, how America came to be or something like that. And I heard about it, but I forgot to write it down. And when I forgot to write it down, that means that I forgot that we even had it. So I'd be, so when the day of the test came, I'd be sitting in class going, and the teacher would say, all right, everybody, don't put away your notebooks and your textbooks and get out a pen and paper. We have a test today. And I'd be like, wait, there's a test? Like, wait, what test? No, please, no. Can we have like 30 minutes to study, please? Hello? Oh, man. But then again, not like 30 minutes. I mean, seriously, like, I should have had like a week to prepare for that test. So even having 30 minutes wouldn't have done anything. And another reason why having ADHD was so hard was because I was teased for it. And people would tend to look at me like I was an idiot. Like, let's just say I would sometimes lose focus. And the teacher would call me out on this, and a bunch of kids would start laughing, and it was hard. And at times, you know, I got really, really angry. I got so angry that I wanted to punch those people for making me feel this way. But you know something? As I grew with ADHD and being bullied because of this, I learned not to care about other people's thought. You know, I learned to adopt the whole thing of, look, you know what? I know I have this condition. I'm perfectly okay with it. Okay, maybe I'm not perfectly okay with it. I'd rather not have it, but I understand that there are worse things. But, and, you know, if people don't understand what this is, if people are going to joke about it, if people are just going to, like, you know, mess around with it, then, you know, let them do that. No, I can't control what other people say. I can't control what comes out of other people's mouth. I can't control what other people do. And I can't control if people even want to understand what ADHD is. What I can control, however, and this is to everyone with ADHD, however, with ADHD out there, what you can control, what I can control, the only things you and I can control is ourselves. We can control what we say. We can control our actions. We can control all of that. We can't control what other people do. And I'm going to end things here with you guys. Next episode will consist of a little bit of parent-child relationships. What you do if your child is doing poorly in school, how parents can deal with sibling rivalry and spats among children, and to leave or quit. What exactly do you know when it's time to quit your job? Which is something I went through too not too long ago, and that's going to be an interesting story to tell you guys. This is DJ Desert Rose, and you are listening to Drawing the Lines, Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m., only on radio.dominican.u.edu. Next stop is DJ Man. I hope you enjoy her show. Have a great afternoon. We'll never give up the fight. We'll never give up the fight. Warrior! 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 They say don't give up the fight. We'll never give up the fight. Don't give up the fight. We don't give up the fight. We don't need no more drivers. We don't need, oh no, 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 no more drivers. Did you say? Without your word.